dang good, Jan. You're dang good. Come on up, guy. The youth have an announcement for you. They want to present something to you.
Whether you know it or not, from the clothes we wear, the chocolate we eat, the coffee we drink, we have partaken in slavery.
We want to be a part of the generation that helps bring the end to slavery once and for all.
That's why Lutheran League would like to invite you to shine a light on Slavery Day this Thursday, February 7th at 7 p.m.
We will have a dinner of spaghetti and meatballs, salad, and bread for you.
And we will share information with you about slavery, some of which you've probably never heard.
Like if every slave was represented by a single grain of rice, we would need...
We want to keep some things a surprise, but there are 40 million slaves in the world, so whether or not that's a lot of rice, it's a lot of people.
So please take the invitation. We will hand out and sign it to let us know you are coming. Don't forget to put it in the offering plate.
If you can't make it to our event, you can still participate and shine a light on Slavery Day by putting a red X on your hand on Thursday.
But we hope to see you Thursday night at 7 p.m. so together we can raise our voices and shine a light against slavery.
They're going to hand some things out to you about this. Just so you know, this is a much more serious and widespread problem and issue in our world than you know. This is happening in our community, believe it or not. And there are more slaves today than there have ever been before in history. This is a serious, serious issue. It's happening in Rowan County. It's happening in North Carolina. It is happening in the United States of America. We don't think it is, but it is truly happening. It's right under our noses. And many of the things that we do and participate in sometimes have a connection to that, primarily from other countries, but it's happening. I'd invite you to come out. They're going to have a good meal. It's a great way to get informed and understand. And these kids, they really want to share this information with you just so you understand some of the things that are happening in this world. So thank you guys for bringing that to everybody. Several announcements and concerns, but before we start, I want to thank everybody for being here today. We welcome each and every one, guests, visitors alike, our regular folks. We're glad that you came out to be with us today. And I hope before the day is over that you connect with somebody that you do not know. Somebody that you do not, or maybe you haven't talked to them for a while or something. Maybe you just haven't been able to cross paths. Talk with them and fellowship with each other. Several concerns and announcements, if you will. First of all, just so you know, Gene Ray really needs your prayers. He has been, his insurance will not allow him to stay at rehab at Liberty Commons, and they are taking him home. He should be home now. Just keep Gene in your prayers. Really, really need your prayers. And I know Gene, beloved member of this church, really, really needs your prayers. So please do that for Gene. Also, he is in the book. Send him a card. Send him a letter of encouragement. Let him know you're thinking of him. Pray for him. He's in the directory, so he's not hard to find. Please send Gene out something if you would. I know he'd greatly appreciate it. Now, we got a little happier note here on a couple of issues. We got some birthdays today. Miss Helen Beaker is 92. No, she's 29. Helen told me she's 29. And happy birthday, ma'am. Happy birthday. Many blessings. Wish her. Should we sing happy birthday to Helen? Did we do that? Can we do that? Even if we do it a cappella. Can you play that, Jenna? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just do it a cappella. We'll do it a cappella. That's the way Barney Fife. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helen. Happy birthday to you. And many blessings for many more, Helen. Sandra Park has a birthday today. Andrew Poston had one. This fellow's got one, I think, tomorrow. He's actually older than Helen. He's 30, and Helen's only 29. So remember that. But happy birthday to Sandra. Happy birthday to Andrew. Happy birthday to Vicar Jordan. Many blessings to each and every one of you. And when you get there with Helen, then you get sung happy birthday. We do it then. Also, just so you know, Chris and Nikki Castor, they have a new grandbaby, and everything is going well. Baby had to stay in ICU overnight, but I got message that everything is well. They're home. Everybody's doing good. So congratulate them on the new grandbaby, and I'm sure they're very, very happy for that. Also, Jason and Clancy wanted to thank everybody who came out, helped yesterday, and all those who participated and were willing to donate their time, their gifts, and also come out and just fellowship and have a good meal and help in the adoption. And they greatly appreciate that, and they wanted to thank you all from the bottom of their hearts. Also, OKFC, Luther League, they're going to meet right after church today. Hope all the parents will be there. Like to meet with the parents and talk with them for a little while. Also, I've got my Bible study. 10 o'clock tomorrow, 7 o'clock tomorrow, so be, or 10:30 tomorrow, rather. 10:30 and 7 o'clock, be aware of that. The vicar has his on Wednesdays, 6:30, over in the fellowship hall. Cemetery cleanup's coming up March 1st. March the 1st, cemetery will be clean. Also, the Oregon Community Senior Citizens are meeting this Tuesday. I take it at their 10:30 regular time, over in the fellowship hall, so be aware of that. Also, again, just to reiterate, the International Shine a Light on Slavery Day be observed on here on February 7th, this Thursday. Come on out, join, help us, and learn a little bit about what's going on in this world. Are there any announcements that perhaps we missed? I don't want to miss anything. I guess at this time, as we are able, let's all stand for the invocation and our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated if you would, and let's have the children come forward for the children's message.
Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Morning, how are you? Morning. Morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Is everybody good? Everybody doing good? Good. Well, like always, we're going to talk about some of the readings and things. And what I want to talk about is going to talk a little bit about what we did the last couple weeks. Remember how we talked about how Jesus saves us and what that means? What's one of the things that it means for Jesus to save us? Where do we get to be with him? Heaven, yeah. So it saves us from death, right, at the end of this life. But we also talked about how part of what Jesus does in saving us is to help us in this life, right? And today, some of the readings talk a little bit about it. There's a reading from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, and it says this: "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." And that's a promise that he made to Israel, his nation, in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came and fulfilled what Israel was supposed to do, and he was the Messiah, and he was God, and he came down and he was a human being, right? And so a lot of the promises that God made, Jesus made them for everybody, and that this is one of the things that he says. Now, I want to talk about this. We talked about how God helps us in this life too, right? But what does that help look like? Does it mean that nothing bad is going to happen to us? Does bad stuff happen sometimes? Does anybody know anything that bad that could happen? What's something bad that happens that might happen to you? You could break a leg. Yeah, that's something that's not so great. But if God promises that he's going to be with you and that he's going to help you in this life, then what does that mean? It doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen. But it means that we're not alone, that he is with us even if bad things happen. In fact, Jesus later says that bad stuff's going to happen. He said it's just going to happen. That's the way the world is right now. The world's broken, and so bad things are going to happen to you. But he says, don't be afraid, because I've overcome the world. Remember how we talked about how he died for us, and then he was raised from the dead, right? And so if he made those promises, and he died, and then he's raised from the dead, so he's alive forever, then he's going to keep his promises, because he's God, and he has all the power in the world. So what that means for us is that when bad stuff happens, what we need to remember is that God's going to be with us through that. And then even if the bad stuff is a long time, or even if the bad stuff's really bad, that we're going to be with Jesus forever, that we're going to be with God forever, and that even in the bad times, he's with us, and he's never going to leave us. He's never going to let us go through the bad things alone. So bad stuff's going to happen, unfortunately. But you've got the promise from God that he'll be with you and that you'll be with him forever. That's pretty good news, right? That's some good stuff, right? All right, so let's remember that when we go out and we're living our lives and bad stuff might happen. Let's remember that God's never going to leave us and that we'll be with him forever, okay? Let's pray, and then y'all can get a sucker and go to children's church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for the promises that you give us, and we thank you for making it clear to us that even when bad things happen to us, that you will never leave us and that we will be with you forever. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, y'all, grab a sucker. There you go. Good job. Good job, guy. Good. Good job, y'all. There you go. Job. You're welcome.
As the children are leaving, let's all stand for the apostolic greeting in our Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O God, you know the perilous choices we are prone to make that fall short of your desire for human faithfulness and obedience. Without you, our fragile nature cannot survive. Support us with your word of truth, that we may grow in faith in the midst of our trials. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Please.
Before you sit, pass the peace to a couple of folks and try to pass the peace to somebody you haven't met or Maybe somebody you haven't seen for a long time. Well, peace be to you there, Hopalong. I'm glad to see you out and about. Many blessings to you. Many blessings. Hey, Brenda, the Lord be with you, my friend. I'm glad to see you out and about. Peace be with you, sir. Peace be with you, young lady. Peace be with you, my friend. Love you. Appreciate you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Okay, give me a holler. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Tim, the peace of the Lord be with you, my friend. You be good, my friend. You be good. Mr. Leavitt, the peace of God be with you, my friend. Peace be with you, Miss Barbara. Peace be with you.
Going.
Peace be with you, brother. You better straighten up. You need some.
A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you, dress yourself for work, arise and say to them everything that I command you. But do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Here ends the reading. Let us read responsibly Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since was young. I have become a portent to many, but you are my refuge and my strength. Do not cast me off in my old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. They say God has forsaken him. Go after him and seize him, because there is none who will save. A reading from 1 Corinthians. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 4th chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him on the ground in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them. It would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. I'm going to discuss, if you allow me for just a few moments, the 1 Corinthians 12 text. And I would like for you, if you will, to just join me in prayer for a couple of moments. I think this is an extremely important message, and something that I hope God will help us with today. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you bring to us today. I pray, God, that you might give me words, you might give me wisdom and understanding, and you might open the hearts of each and every one of us here that we might hear what you have for us, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul has been dealing with the Corinthians all throughout the 1 Corinthians text. As we said a few weeks ago, there was discord, there was upheaval, and most of it was surrounding the gifts of the Spirit. You wouldn't think they would cause a problem, but they did, and primarily the gift of tongues. Again, tongues is in the Bible for anyone who has ears to hear, as the Word says. It's there, but they were letting these gifts be used for their own glorification instead of the glorification of the body. And Paul says, this is not right. I want to speak to you about these things. But then, after he gets done talking to them about all these issues, about all these things concerning the gifts of the Spirit, and after he's built himself up, because you got to remember, he is the church planner. He was their pastor that started this thing off. Now, he's going away now, and he has left others in charge, but he is the authority, if you will. And Paul says, after we talk about all these things, he says, now let me tell you a better way. Now, ain't that something? Paul says, let me tell you a better way. We talked about all this stuff, but let me show you the better way. You thought he'd got to the better way to begin with. But very, very important. Not that we should dismiss all the gifts and all those things. But Paul says there's something that is a more, still more excellent way and something that we need to consider. And what is that, pray tell? It's called love. Love. God is love. And the people of God should love one another. It does this old preacher good to see you communing with one another when we pass the peace. I hope it's doing you some good. I hope it's helping all of us. It does me good. Because the Bible says that they will know we're Christians, not because we place a name on a building or we put a steeple up on a building or anything like that. They'll know what? Because of our love. Because we love one another. It's not because of any other thing. It's because of love. And Paul says this, and he uses himself after he's built himself up. Then he starts to cut himself down. And he says this. He says, if I, Paul, he's talking me, Paul. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, he says, all I'm doing is making a bunch of noise. That's all I'm doing is just making noise. He said, I can speak, have all these eloquent things and all this stuff, but if I don't have love, it's just a bunch of noise. Doesn't amount to anything, he's saying. And he says, and if I have prophetic powers, he could prophesy over all these things. Understand all mysteries. Man, I wish we could understand all mysteries. It says later in here that we just know in part and we see in part. We don't know everything. But he said, even if I could know all that, if I could know it all and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, that I could have the faith that I could just move that mountain on out of the way. Literally, he's talking about just moving a mountain out of the way. That don't happen just by itself. Mountains do not move out of the way. But he says, if I can do all that, but I have not love, he says, I'm nothing. I am absolutely nothing. This is Paul now. Remember who he is? Probably besides Jesus, the second greatest authority in the Bible. Oh, he says, I'm nothing if I don't have love. And he means that for all of us too. If we don't have love, we are nothing. He says, if I give all I have, everything, gives his house, all of his money, everything, his life, all of that. He says, if I deliver up my body to be burned. See, if I just say, okay, go ahead. You want me as your martyr? Go ahead. Burn me at the stake too. Go ahead, Roman Emperor. Go ahead. Burn me. Go ahead. Burn me at the stake. I give myself to you. He says, I can do all that. You'd think that's pretty serious stuff to give yourself for that. But then he turns it around. He says, but I could do all that. But have not love, I gain nothing. I have gained nothing. I am nowhere, and I have gone no place, and I have achieved nothing. It's the same for every one of us. We have achieved nothing if we do not have love. Love. I'm talking the love of God. I'm not talking the love of a husband and wife. That's eros. And that's part of what we need if you're going to be married. There's also phile, the love, brotherly love that we call it. You've heard of the city of Philadelphia, the town of brotherly love. We need that. That's great. That's wonderful. But we need the love of God to be within us. That's a special, unique thing called the agape love of God. If I don't have love, I don't gain anything. Then he goes on and he says this, love is patient and kind. Love is willing to deal with people in their weaknesses. Love is willing to take its time with others. Love says, you know what, maybe they're not where I am, or maybe I'm not where I should be, and we are patient. That's called love. We be patient with one another, not willing to just throw each other over the cliff, so to speak, or under the bus, I guess we might say today. Throw each other under the bus. No, we're patient. Love is patient. If you got it, you're patient. And it's kind. Could not the world use a little bit of kindness? Well, that's what love is. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. I did this. I did that. We did this. We did that. Love doesn't do that. Love throws all that out. It's not arrogant. Have you ever seen the arrogant? Somebody who is truly arrogant. Love is not that way. Love doesn't think it's better than somebody else, or love doesn't think it's got all the answers and it's better. It's not that. Love is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Or it's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Imagine that. Love does not insist on its own way. It doesn't say it's my way or the highway. Love does not. If we have love for one another, it's not. It's got to be this way. Love doesn't insist on its own. It's not irritable or resentful. We all get irritable. We all get resentful from time to time. But love doesn't do that. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. We see the world in many ways rejoicing when something wrong is done. They rejoice sometimes. They rejoice at evil sometimes. And you know, and sometimes maybe we do the same thing. So and so, they got theirs. You better be careful. Because love doesn't do that. Love has compassion. But rejoices in the truth. It rejoices when the truth is spoken. The truth is not very well taken today. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never ends. Paul says it never ends. Love is the one thing in this world that will never end. It goes on forever. Do you know why love doesn't end? This building will end. This thing will one day, it will end. This church, sometime, and I pray it's many, many moons from now, will end. This country will end. This world will end at some point. Every person here, we will end at some point, at least physically, as we are here at some point. Now, there is the physical part of going on to be with God, so don't please don't take me wrong. But we're all going to be out here at some point, probably, unless Jesus comes back, and he could very quickly. All this is going to end. The only thing that's going to last is love. All the wars that have ever been, they're going to end. Famine will end. Hurt will end. Sickness will end. And finally, death hell, and the grave who have actually been overcome through Jesus. They're totally be ended because God says he's going to throw hell into the great lake of fire at some point. All that stuff will end. And the only thing that will last is love. Here's why. Because God is love. Love is the thing that reaches out beyond itself. You see, you cannot have love with yourself. Now, there are some people, they love themselves. But love is a relational thing. And it takes two to at least love. And I'm not talking husband and wife. I'm not talking those things. Love is something I reach out with. Love is something you reach out with. Love is what we do when we pass the peace. Love is what we do when somebody in this church is hurting and they need us and they need our prayers, when they need us to be there for them. Sometimes it's not anything you say or anything. There's a thing called the ministry of presence. It's just being there. Sometimes that's the greatest thing, just being there. Being there with them. That's love. Everything else is going in. Everything. Except for love. And I pray today that we would love one another. Love anticipates all good things that are going to come. Love anticipates that things are going to happen and they'll happen the way God wants them to happen. It anticipates that. It looks forward to those things. Even without the evidence that it's going to be. You see, love is a wonderful thing. Love is the one thing that will endure forever, ever, and ever, along with God and his kingdom, because God is love. If you want to leave a legacy, I think every one of us wants to leave a legacy or leave something of some sort to our children and to others. Maybe leave the world a better place than we found it. There's all sorts of ways that's done. I'm not knocking any way. But if you want to leave something that's really going to last, leave a legacy of love. Leave a legacy of love. Be in relationship with one another and with each other and with everybody outside these walls so that the love of God might live on in them. These little children, one day, you and I are going to be gone. I pray that through what we do here and other things, we'll help them to love, and that love that we have now and that love that God wants us to have will continue on for many years in them, and you know what? Even in their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and on down the line.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and ever-living God, but chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you send to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated at this time. And we do invite all baptized Christians to please join us in the Eucharist today. And we do have gluten-free options if you need that. So just please let us know.